Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hump day.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Nemestikov's going to get to the net with a shot stopped by Carter Hutton. Oh, he got through him! Hutton made the save and then it dribbled past him. 4-on-2 developing here for Ottawa. Scores! And Isimov, his second of the game. It's 4-2 Ottawa. Batherson down the right side. Right in front scores. Pajot. 6-4.
We fell asleep for 7 minutes and they scored 4 goals. We knew that they have shorthanded prowess and gave up a shorty, and that's just unacceptable. So can't give up 4 quick ones and try and dig yourself out.
We really got a good start here. We were doing the things we thought we needed to do to play well against Ottawa. That power play from the get-go didn't have the work ethic that we need, and we know that Ottawa is the best shorthanded scoring team in the league. We had awareness of that. They had 2 scoring chances on that power play, and overall very, very disappointing when you look at the start and the table that we had set and how we let that go on our own, and we're very disappointed right now with the result.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, I take notes during the game because I don't remember anything.
No.
I couldn't keep up with the Ottawa goals. They were scoring too fast. I had to keep rewinding my television set to go back and figure out what the heck happened on 4 goals in 3.5 minutes. You know, there was a fleeting moment there after the second Montour goal where I started thinking about, well, how close would they get to Toronto if they win tonight? That lasted for 5 minutes of game time.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It was a small window, but it was a celebratory one.
Yeah, I feel like you're not all that upset today if you're not all that surprised that
no.
They lost to Ottawa, which is, I think, where I would place myself.
It is the third time they've lost to Ottawa this season,
right,
too.
And I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I love to be optimistic, but, you know, I just felt like the window on this team had closed long ago.
It's not optimist-pessimist. It's just realistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you to expect them to go and do what they'd have to do. I know Toronto lost last night and Montreal lost last night, but...
And if you were trying to find a way to get them in, like, I admire it. I'm not making fun of anybody trying to find a way.
Yeah.
Because, sure, when they go up 2-0, it's, yeah, all right, get a win. Toronto loses. It's going to be 6 points going into the weekend. All right.
I actually did think, okay, who do you got this weekend? Could you win the Pittsburgh and Winnipeg?
There's no reason to think they can beat Pittsburgh.
No.
But, you know.
It lasted for a few minutes.
Welcome to the season.
Yeah.
What do you say about it?
I say, when are they going to make some trades?
Yeah, but what do you say about what's wrong with this team?
What's wrong with this team?
Like, what's wrong last night?
Well, they were terrible in their own end.
Okay.
Then the goalie doesn't make enough saves.
The goalie doesn't make any saves.
Yeah.
The goalie, I mean, like...
Well, they were bad in front of him, too. I mean, it's not all just Carter Hutton. There were guys, hey, Jeff Skinner gets beat on a shorthanded goal. Darlene lets a guy go to the net for a rebound.
But you can only get beat on a shorthanded goal.
Eichel and Ristolainen are letting a guy go behind the net and come out all alone. I mean, come on.
You can only get beat on a shorthanded goal if your goalie gives up that goal.
But let's not absolve everybody else. There's a lot of bad play in front of him.
The goalie exists to stop pucks.
I get it.
And he's not very good at it.
Well,
and
there's a lot of players he's got company with.
Well, he's one of the chief reasons on this roster they are where they are. He's one of the biggest. He doesn't give them quality starts. His quality start percentage is bad. His save percentage is bad. His goals against is bad. The expected goals for Ottawa last night. You know, you want to get into fancy stats, you don't even have to, but... It's less than 1 after the first period.
Yeah.
And they have 4. He needs to make saves.
I think they only had 6 scoring chances in the first period.
And scored on 4 of them.
And scored on 4 goals.
The first goal is on him. The second goal is on him. The fourth goal is bad. The fifth goal. Somebody lobs the puck at the net and he's like, here, just put it out in the slot. So, I mean, scoring will do everything. If you can't score, everything looks bad. Last night they could score, but they couldn't stop a nosebleed. And, you know, I'm not a blame the goalie guy in general. I don't want to really talk about goalies too much. But consistently, when he is in net, they're giving up 5.
Well, that game, I just think, he's not played well, but I can't look at last night's game and say, it's just him. There were too many other plays. They were a disaster around their own net last night. I mean, there were how many times were Ottawa players just kind of going to the net and able to do whatever they wanted to do, and there were just guys missing assignments all over the place. I mean, they gave up 40 shots last night
yep.
to an Ottawa team that's not good. But well, Hutton's game last night was his game in the 12-game losing streak. That's exactly what happened. He plays. They give up four, five, in this case, six goals without the empty net. That is how he played in the losing streak. It isn't good enough. I get that. But I just there's too many other guys last night that just were just garbage once they took the 2-0 lead. And then there's just players taking turns just breaking down all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's a result of not having faith in your goaltender or not having – I don't know. I mean, what do you say? I don't know.
Yeah. Or is it just an overall, you know, they've got to be, you know, a more talented roster? I mean, I don't know. I just know that Hutton doesn't play well. I get that. But there were just too many. There were other issues in front of him last night were just bad. I mean, just guys, cover people in your own end. Take guys out of plays. Don't let guys drive to the net for rebound attempts. It was just a whole bunch of stuff last night.
Season save percentages?
Oh, he's got to be 900.
894.
Yeah, he was because in the losing streak, he was under 870.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning of the season, he was like 940 the first few weeks, and then he was 870 in the streak, and even in the stretch where he had won four or five, he was still. I checked his save percentage. Actually, it was still. I think it was under 910. It was like 905, 906.
Yeah.
Which isn't great when you're winning hockey games.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I know. He's not good. I get that.
But he's not, you know, who's to blame? Sure, fine. I mean, he's not supposed to be their starting goaltender. That's supposed to be Linus Ullmark, who's not available. The backup who could get you a spell doesn't have NHL experience and doesn't appear ready when he's played. So, you know.
Yeah, sometimes teams might actually go to the backup goalie when you give up four goals in the first period. I never even thought of them pulling Hutton because I figured they're just not going to put Johansson in at this point.
And his record this season, you know, if you were to just look at wins and losses, it's not that bad, 11-10-4, partially because of those four straight wins. But, man, when he goes in, you've got to score six. You got to score – I shouldn't say that because he had a stretch here
right.
where they had won a bunch in a row, and he'd given up 2-3, 2-2, and they had won four straight.
Yeah, he was playing better, but in that stretch where they were winning, he also wasn't asked to really make the big bailout saves. I mean, they were playing solid games when he was 2-3, 2-2, whatever that stretch mm-hmm. was. They were playing well in front of him. He was able to see some shots, make the initial save, they'd clear out the rebound. But when they're not playing well – In front of Carter Hutton, that's when it goes to 4, 5, and 6 goals a game. And teams are getting rebound chances. They're driving to the net. They're driving around the net. He was okay when they had good structure in front of him. But when things break down, he doesn't play at a level to rescue them when they break down. Ullmark was doing better at that at the time of the injury. But Hutton has not been able to do that. When they win and he gives up two goals, it's because they're playing pretty solid and they're limiting opportunities. Last night they didn't do that to Ottawa, and a whole bunch of pucks ended up in the net. Special teams was bad too. I mean, they gave up two power play goals to one of the worst power plays in the league, and they gave up. I know there were two shorthanded goals, but the last one was empty net, and they gave up a shorthanded goal. Special teams was terrible last night.
Yeah. Well, special teams have been a problem most of the year, especially.
Yeah. Yep. And especially that can go to goalie too on the penalty kill.
The penalty kill has been very bad.
Yeah. And it was again.
I got to find the goals saved above average rankings because Hutton has been bad all year in that mark, and Ullmark has been okay. You know, that's basically a stat that takes into account every shot that's taken, where it's taken from, and what. You know, how many goaltenders make those saves versus don't, and give up goals versus don't.
Yeah.
It's bad. And it has been.
And he's got 1 year left on his contract. That's another question for Botchel, if Botchel's still the GM in the offseason.
Yeah. His goal saved above average 2 years ago when he was with the St. Louis Blues was fantastic. He had that great year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year came back to earth, which was to be expected. It wasn't that bad. And it was still below zero. So below average.
Yeah.
He's been below average most of his career, had one great year. I'm not mad about the signing of Hutton. I still think it's a fine signing. Because you didn't pay him a lot. There's not a lot of term. But I don't know. I feel like talking about the goaltenders getting off the main story here about who they are, what they are. Is the Scandella thing a big story to you? That you traded him for a fourth and he goes and gets turned for a second?
Not as much as three defensemen were traded yesterday. What are the Sabres doing? And I know someone tweeted at me, well, it's all draft picks. It's not rostered players. I get that. The Sabres could use a rostered player. But guess what? They can use draft picks, too. They have no third-round picks the next 2 years. Get another second. Get another third. This is not – whatever trades he's making isn't just to make him better this week. You know, you're trying to. There's a shortage of talent on this roster. You're trying to find different ways to make them better. A roster player would be very nice. Hey, if Florida would like to trade Vincent Trocheck, what would you like? But I mean, you know, you've got this bunch of defensemen here, and you have defensemen moving around the league. You couldn't peddle somebody for something? I mean, a second round pick wouldn't hurt. It's not a bad thing to have another draft pick this offseason if you're the Sabres. So I wasn't necessarily. Look, they picked up part of the salary, right? St. Louis is desperate. They lost Bollmeister, so maybe they gave up a little more than they would normally give up. I wasn't as annoyed at that as I was. Three defensemen moved yesterday, a fourth might today, and Alec Martinez, and the Sabres still have all their defensemen and haven't made a single trade.
Yeah.
So the whole thing about, well, it's hard to make trades. He's trying. Well, other teams are trying too, and apparently they made trades.
Yeah, Darren Dreger reported he's trying, right?
Yeah, well, other teams are succeeding. So it wasn't as much about Scandella, a fourth, they got a second, as it is, okay, trades are happening, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I also understand. You trade a fourth, him for a fourth. We weren't upset at the time. He goes for a second. I don't think that's necessarily, wow, what a job by Mark Bergevin, so much as it is desperation by the Blues.
Yeah.
But I will say.
And Montreal kept some of the salary. The Sabres didn't retain any of Scandella's salary.
And why don't they retain salary?
They didn't have room to retain salary.
And why don't they have room?
Because they mismanaged the cap.
Exactly. And why do
and
they...
thanks to long-term injury reserve, they have cap space in Bogosian.
And also, why would they take a guy for less than his value? Because they have to trade a guy. You know, I think if you look at the Scandella fourth-round pick and then turn for a second-round pick, it's not necessarily that in that individual trade, you've blown it. It's this is a symptom of your roster mismanagement. You gave him away for a fourth-round pick, and then spent that fourth-round pick on a forward. So it's not even like you went just a dump trade. That was a one-for-one trade that was swung on a lever that was a fourth-round pick. But if you're Montreal, you know, you could have tried to get, if you're the Sabres, a second-round pick, and they would say, I mean, come on, right. Look, you've got a lot of defensemen. We know you need to trade one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Botchel, you might want to retain salary, but you don't have room to do it. And both those things are your fault.
Would you have nine defensemen that could play in the NHL at that point?
So if you have too many of something and you're trying to sell it, anybody that's a buyer is going to say, how about I just give you this instead?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got less than Scandella was worth and you couldn't get more because you couldn't retain salary, well, those things are your responsibility. So I don't think Botchel got fleeced or anything like that in that Scandella trade. I just think that maybe you end up getting more if you have managed your roster better. What happens if instead of waiting until now to waive Zach Bogosian, you do it the day he gets healthy?
Mm-hmm.
What happens then? And why wasn't it done then?
Right.
You waited this long to try to trade him, and you obviously couldn't do that, so you waive him. Why now? Why didn't you do it the day he got healthy? It's not as if to say no one could have predicted he wasn't good enough to be on this team. We all know it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wait this long, so.
Well, you would have had cap space earlier. Maybe Bogosian's value, maybe someone would have traded for him earlier in the season as opposed to it's late in the year, he's scratched, they know you're not going to play him at all, he goes through waivers, who's going to trade for him now?
Yep.
I mean, he went unclaimed.
Yeah. Jason writes in, or Joey, I think, Anthony Duclair, available for nothing. Available for nothing.
I know he's in a goal drought now, but I liked him going back to the Rangers.
Scored last night.
Yeah.
The empty netter.
He'd gone like 20 games without a goal.
Yeah.
But he's I think he's a good player.
For nothing.
Right. That would have been
there were a couple guys on Colorado available for nothing. And this team sticks with the same guys. So, you know, what do you do? We all sit around here and just kind of wait for them to do something or be any different or show any signs of life. But and like the biggest frustration about the Sabres is, does anybody see any semblance of a plan?
No.
And Kruger, I believe, has one. You know, Kruger probably has one.
I guess if you asked me a plan, I would go with, you know, the whole draft, develop, have your players winning as they come through the organization, and you have franchise pieces in place like Eichel and Dahlin, and you're supposed to be building around them and bringing in players, and you win for 10 years.
And not only that, but you also are able to get a lot of salary cap space this offseason. You're clearing a lot of contracts, clearing the deck.
Clearing the deck that you put together.
Yes,
I mean,
mostly.
It's all his contracts.
Yeah, you're clearing.
Check the Poso.
So clearing up, making a mess and then cleaning it up isn't exactly, to me, looking like much of a plan. I mean, if I go home and trash my living room and then clean it up and say, look, babe, I cleaned up the living room.
Right? It's all his except the Poso.
Yes.
So he's the guy who created the cap mess that they're in right now anyway.
Yes. So, all right, I guess that's the plan on the fly. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not even mad. Like, this is, I've been in the same spot for the.
Well, I think we passed mad two months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't ranted on the Sabres in a while, unless this counts. I don't think this counts as a rant.
So I got a tweet this morning, about a half hour ago. Hank Jr., the country singer, he listens to the show.
Got it.
He tweeted to me and said, it's been 2 years since this tweet, yet it's just as relevant then as it is today. So the old tweet he sent me said this. How much damage has this Sabre season caused to the fan base? Planning to get to that at 6:30. Get your tweets to me now. Got a good text from a friend of mine who was a season ticket holder.
Okay.
Who was really upset. That was 2 years ago. Yeah. What's changed? That's the point. He's like, you tweeted this out 2 years ago, Howard, and this morning, you could tweet it today.
That's the first Housley season.
Yes. 2 years ago, yes.
When they finished in last.
Yeah. So, and we would have been, what, mid-February of that year. Yeah.
You know, I guess sometimes we take for granted. It is amazing you could be bad
this long.
Not only this long, but it's amazing you could be bad when gifted the things he's been gifted.
Yeah.
He walks into Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, and Ryan O'Reilly.
And then he gets Darlene.
And then he gets so bad
that
they get Darlene for free.
Yeah.
And you're still and those players are all as advertised. Darlene's still looking, he looks good.
Yeah.
He's fine. Eichel's amazing. You get gifted Victor Olofsson. Olofsson is a gift. And then what?
That's right. That was from Tim Murray.
What a draft and develop. You know, Murray drafted him. Then he's in Rochester for a little while, and he's great. Going to get to 20 goals this season. I just don't understand. I don't understand how they could still be this bad. And then, you know, the thing I really wonder about, the Skinner story. I think the Skinner story is a big story. The GM identifies him as a super important player, and the coach doesn't.
Yeah.
The coach doesn't identify him as important. Now, he's in a drought, and he's in maybe the worst. He is in the worst
in
year
the worst.
Of his career.
Yeah.
He's having the worst year of his career. His shooting percentage is way down. There are things that this organization could do to help him.
You pull up his stats? I assume it's his career, maybe career low shooting percentage this season?
7.3%. That is his lowest of his career.
Last year was at 14.
Yep. But, you know, he's down 2 minutes of ice time per game. He's not playing power play anymore.
They snuck him in on the second. Well,
okay,
he was on
the
shorthanded goal, so he got some power play time
on
the number
two. That's right.
Unit
he gets some
night.
Power play time on the second.
But even at the end of the game, when they had the power play and pulled the goalie, Johansson
was
out there.
He's not the extra skater.
Right.
He doesn't see time in overtime.
Right.
He is not treated as an important player by the coach, and the GM identified him as a $9 million player. And, like, that's a pretty big gulf. How do you match that?
Well, I still go back.
Skinner has 11 goals. He had an 18 goal season in Carolina back in 2014-15. And, you know, I'm not telling you the Sabres need to fire their coach or anything, but I mean, am I supposed to believe that Jeff Skinner just doesn't care anymore, or Jeff Skinner just became not good? There are three players with more even strength goals since 2012. Their names are Ovechkin, Tavares, and Kane. This guy is great. He is an elite scorer. So, I mean, I'm not trying to like completely absolve him of having a bad season, but I am going to say, if you picked up, you know, Connor McDavid and he finished the year with 40 points, I might think you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do to this guy? How have you lost this guy? And that's how I feel about Skinner is Ovechkin, Tavares, Patrick Kane, Jeff Skinner. That's the 5-on-5 goal scoring list over the last 8 years. And you've lost him.
Yeah.
And you don't play him at 6-on-4. And you don't play him on overtime even. What? Okay. Okay.
And I don't know. He does. I mean, obviously he's lacking confidence right now. That's not exactly a great statement. Everybody knows that when you're 22 games into a goal drought. You know, he gets an assist on the first goal. I honestly thought he was going to score. It was a really good chance at the start of the game.
He created that goal.
Yeah. I mean,
he doesn't get an assist.
Oh, I thought he got a point.
They took it away.
Oh, they had said last night he got, because, okay.
Yeah, it's unassisted by Montour.
Well, that sucks.
Right.
But he made a nice play on that.
He made two nice plays on that.
And he got the rebound.
That is absolutely Skinner's goal.
Yeah. And he doesn't get it. But there were times, you know, he had another play later in the game where he had a wrist shot in the slot. And it just seemed like last year, his shot was so deadly. His wrist shot, you know, anywhere if you kind of drew like from inside, in between the dots, maybe high slot, in that area, his wrist shot was really deadly last season. And this year he takes shots sometimes and it's almost like he doesn't believe it's actually going to go in. And maybe that happens to a goal scorer when you're in a 22-game drought like he is. He doesn't look confident. He doesn't look like he believes his shot is going in. He seems tentative. I don't know about his relationship with Kruger. I'm not going to tell you if I have insight on that. I don't. I would assume if we look at it and go, hey, it'd be nice to get him with Eichel at some point. Maybe that could help him get out of this streak and get him going. That he must be having the same thoughts too. And you'd wonder, and I don't know if he's approached Kruger with that, but Kruger has no desire to do that.
Don't you think Bottrell would have that thought?
Well,
I mean, every time Jeff Skinner doesn't score, Jason Bottrell, I'm not saying he looks bad every time, but hey, well, I gave that guy $9 million
a year. Pressure's on the GM, right? Why isn't your big signing scoring? And I wasn't expecting 40 goals. He'd never done it before.
I was,
but at least 30.
If he played with Jack, I would expect 40 goals. Yes.
At least 30 this year.
I mean, Olofsson's got 20 and was hurt for a while. Yeah. And even when Olofsson was hurt, Skinner was too for a little bit. They overlapped. But when Skinner was back and Olofsson wasn't, they didn't put Skinner there.
Yeah. Like, well, that's the part that frustrated me. You had a window there of 15 games where you could have, you tried Gergensen's there, you put VC there, it would have killed the team. You know, so Kruger last week says, well, we're not in this for Jeff Skinner. It's about the team. Well, you tried Gergensen's and VC. Would it have killed you to put Skinner up there for a game to see what happened?
And that's what's amazing. Like, that is a story to me. That is the story of Skinner, is that the coach has, you know, I tweeted it last night. I don't know about picked this battle, but that's kind of how I feel about it. That's what it looks like to me. The coach will make every single change except
that one. Yeah.
That one.
It's weird.
Except the one that got the guy 40 goals. Every other change he'll try except that one.
Well, and he won't break up Reinhardt and Eichel. He will not. Those are the two things. You know, he'll try other guys at other positions, right? Eventually, Johansson, they looked at Johansson and said, you know what, let's try you on the wing. And he does look better on the wing with Lazar at center, whoever. I mean, they'll try all these different things, but the two things he won't try is Skinner on left wing with Eichel and breaking up Eichel and Reinhardt.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't understand the first part, especially when Olofsson was injured. And to the discussion about, well, we're not in this for Jeff Skinner. This isn't about Jeff Skinner. It is about what's best for the team. And guess what's better for the team? Jeff Skinner scoring goals is better for the team. So my question might have sounded like I'm worried about Skinner's stats. I'm not. I think when he scores goals, that gives the Sabres a better chance of winning hockey games. And Skinner's not scoring goals, so why not put him with the best playmaking center you have on your roster, and it's not even close? He doesn't even need to stay there. Maybe he has a couple, three games, and he scores some goals, and he gets his confidence back. And then when Olofsson returns, you can say, all right, Jeff, you're scoring again. I'll throw you back on the other line. I don't know. I stopped getting mad about results of games 2 months ago. The Skinner thing to me is probably the only thing that I get angry about. There's really nothing else in terms of lineup decisions, but I just don't get the whole Skinner thing. And his confidence is shot, and he looks like a shell of himself.
Mm-hmm. Stat of the day. Here's a stat of the day for you. This one came from Tyler.
Oh, I got a Sabre stat of the day, so that's
so
good.
Do I. Okay. You want to go? You go first.
Stat of the day is brought to you by Strategic Financial Solutions. Love where you work, Strategic Financial Solutions. I stole this one from the telecast. Rasmus Dahlin got an assist last night, right? At least one. Anyway, Dahlin now has 80 points in his first not quite two seasons in the NHL. It's the second most points by a defenseman before they turned 20. He just passed Ray Bourque. And now he is at 80, and the only player in front of him he will not pass is his former coach, Phil Housley, who had 132 points before he turned 20. So Rasmus, actually, when is his 20th birthday?
April 13th.
Oh, so he definitely will not pass Housley.
Do you just know that? You know
his birthday? How did you know that?
I had it on my mind yesterday.
Why?
For whatever reason.
You sending him a card?
No, I just...
You're shopping for him, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're just thinking birthdays.
That I am.
You're going to send him a Brayton Wilson WGR jersey autographed.
Totally.
Okay.
So like he's going to like that.
80 points is the second most by a defenseman before the age of 20.
Very good. This stat of the day comes from Tyler. Tom Fitzgerald, who's been the interim Devils GM.
I saw this. Yeah.
Oh, you saw this? Tom Fitzgerald has had his job for 23 days, has made more trades in 48 hours than the Sabres have in 8 months. There's your stat of the day from Tyler. I mean, there are going to be trades by this deadline. This team's going to make moves. I'm I'm confident they will make moves.
You sure you want to say that publicly?
Uh-huh. I'm not confident you'll be happy about what they do.
Yeah.
But I am confident that this GM, I'm actually going to give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Really?
That they are going to make moves before, what is it, Thursday next week?
Monday.
It's this Monday?
Monday the 24th.
I was giving them more time.
No, it's Monday.
They will make trades Monday.
So you're like, does that include like moving a couple UFA forwards for some mid-round picks?
It just means the number of trades will go up. I can't promise you anything.
Okay.
But I am confident something will happen.
I would. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll agree from this standpoint. I don't think it's a hockey trade. I think you're going to see one or two of the UFA forwards go for a fourth
probably
round pick.
That's more likely, and I would say yes. I'd be expecting that more. That's why I'm saying something will be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have to. I won't even allow myself to
think this is really good.
No trade happens.
Normally, the roles are reversed. Normally, I'm the one who gets like, oh, yeah, they're doing something.
They're going to do something.
And then you're the one who's like, yeah, I don't know.
They're going to do something.
Okay.
Someone's getting traded.
I might have to call in the show next week while on vacation if the trade deadline passes and nothing is done, just to see how you're doing, how you're holding up.
Somebody's going to get traded.
803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. No Ralph Krueger on the show today. The game ended late, and they got back late from customs in Canada, so we're going to have Ralph on tomorrow morning.
That game ended late. It started late.
Well, it started later than they were supposed to start.
And it went long.
It was
a long first period.
A lot of stoppages. I think faceoff was a little bit after 8 o'clock last night, and it was supposed to be like 7:50. Anyway, so we'll have Ralph on tomorrow. Pat Malacaro coming up at 8:30 this morning. He was in Ottawa. We'll talk more about the game with him, and we'll continue our baseball previews. Of course, you knew we were going to get a Mets guest on. I got you a Jays guest. We got you a Yankees guest. So Ed Coleman, WFAN Radio, will join us at 9:30 from Port St. Lucie to talk Mets baseball. I can't wait for that, which means we've got lines open all morning. Whatever you want to talk about. Could be Sabres. Could be something else. Greg Olson goes to Seattle. We can talk some football. 803, John Beilein resigned in Cleveland. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Game and then we give up 1-2-1 and then swings in their favor. I mean, it's game of momentum. We had it all the first 10 minutes or whatever it was in the game and let it go. So disappointing.
Obviously, it was a big one. We started the first 12, 13 minutes really good and then we didn't play smart enough. So obviously, it's tough being behind two goals after the first period, especially when we were up by two there. Try to fight our way back. Did an okay effort. I think we didn't really come up in our level tonight.
I mean, I think that's unacceptable, especially where position we're at. I think when we go up 2-0 there, We've got a lot of energy to start the game. The position we're at, I don't think we have an excuse to let a shift off, or even after a goal, you know, it's hit four there. So obviously, you know, they get a couple there at the end, but never going to win games that, you know, with those goals against like that.
I heard from the goal scorers some of the locker room sound last night. Inside the Locker Room, brought to you by the Steve Foley Law Firm. Injury justice for injury victims. Kyle Oposo, Victor Olofsson, and Brandon Montour. Montour scored two goals in the first 10 minutes of the first period.
And made a nice save.
Yes, he did. That's right, on when Hutton was caught out on the wraparound. But so two goals to go up 2-0, and then Ottawa scored four times in 3.5 minutes before the first period over, and the Senators go on to a 7-4 win. The goal, by the way, from Olofsson, his 19th of the season on the power play. So that's the third loss to the Senators this season for the Sabres. They're next in action at Pittsburgh Saturday afternoon at 1. The TSN is reporting, by the way, the Pegulas have no plan to hire a president of hockey operations, in case you were wondering. Toronto lost to Pittsburgh last night. Montreal lost to Detroit. So the Sabres would have made up some ground on the Leafs, but they weren't able to. Trades of defensemen. Montreal sends Marco Scandella to the Blues for a deal that includes a 2020 second-round pick. Brendan Dillon from San Jose to Washington for a 2020 second-round pick. Dylan DeMello from Ottawa to Winnipeg for a 2020 third-round pick. And Vegas reportedly working on a trade for LA defenseman Alec Martinez. Greg Olsen, tight end, free agent, no longer. Signs with Seattle on a one-year deal. Drew Brees will be back with New Orleans for the 2020 season. John Beilein has stepped down in his first season as Cavs coach. UB beat Ball State last night 72-59 in men's hoops. And Ryan Newman is awake and talking with family in a hospital down in Florida, recovering from those injuries in the Daytona 500 crash. Those are your headlines. The next update is coming up at 7 o'clock. And a couple of reminders. One, UB women's basketball team is home tonight, 7 o'clock against Akron. You can get your tickets by calling 877-UB-THERE. And headlines brought to you by Northtown Mazda. Get the 2020 Mazda CX-5 Sport all-wheel drive for $239 a month for 36 months. Get Bluetooth, backup camera, push start, blind spot monitoring, and more. Just $239 a month. Visit northtownmazda.com.
Did you mention the Stephon Diggs rumor?
I did not.
I guess Colin Cowherd is where this came from.
Oh, okay.
There's a report the Vikings may be looking to trade Stephon Diggs. I clicked on this and read the article, and it's basically that they had a falling out back in week four. He skipped a practice because he had a cold. They fined him $200,000.
Ooh, that's an expensive cold.
It is an expensive cold.
Should have just taken, like, DayQuil.
So there's a report the Vikings might be looking to move him. I don't know. Last night, the conversation was maybe Diggs for a second-round pick. I think that's probably...
That's low, isn't it?
That's dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I would do it, and I would do it for the first, and I wouldn't even think twice.
Yeah.
I would trade that first-round pick the Bills have for Stephon Diggs right now. The only actually, you know what? I'd rather not do it right now because I want to talk about the draft for a couple months. So if they could do it on draft night.
We need the pick, right?
Do it on draft night.
I wonder if they did that. I'm going to get some calls here, so don't lose your spot. 803-0550. If they did that, let's say they traded the first-round pick for Diggs. So you'd get the wide receiver, but you'd also lose your first-round pick. We thought about the first-round pick as either a wide receiver or an edge rusher. If they do that, I wonder what they do for edge rusher. I wonder if there's a guy in free agency. They could just re-sign Shaq, obviously. But I think they need to do more than that. I don't think just re-signing Shaq is enough for defensive edge, or excuse me, edge rusher, defensive end depth this offseason. And if they made a trade like that and they took the first round pick off the board, that means you're not using that pick on an edge guy. I wonder if they would delve into free agency and try and find a defensive end. If he gets to the market like Ngakoue, who might be the top guy in the market. But I would think they would want to spend some money and bring in another defensive end at that point.
Diggs might be looking for another contract.
I thought he has a long-term deal.
He does have a long-term deal. But, I mean, you know, guys are always looking to rip it up.
He wants to renegotiate.
Yeah. Okay. He might deserve it. He makes 11.
Well, that's low. Where the salary market has gone for receivers is low.
He makes 11 through 2023. So he might want a new deal. And, you know, the Bills did their due diligence on Antonio Brown. We can always remember that.
Yeah.
So maybe you contact Minnesota and offer up that second. Maybe if it turns into that first, who knows what the package might be. Yeah. But it might require a new contract. I'm willing to do that, too.
Let's get some calls this morning at 803-0550, and we'll start with Tony. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I was with hockey here, but you jumped on football. Love to have Stephon Diggs there. Still need that big receiver frame, though. Still need that 6'3" guy, but, man, he'd be great in the arsenal. Anyway, Howard, you mentioned about a tweet from 2 years ago. What's changed? I'll tell you, nothing's changed because you know what? The goaltending hasn't changed. It's the same. Listen, at this trade deadline, can you please go find us a goalie? And while you're at it, can you go scour the earth for a great goalie somewhere? He's out there somewhere. Because this is killing this team. Everybody wants to pin it on the defense. It's the goaltending. It's been the goaltending. They're both backup goalies. Omar was growing into a starter, but he's still average to maybe getting to be above average. Backup goalies are average to below average, and that is what we've had here. Okay?
Yep.
Why doesn't Ralph Krueger put Skinner and Eichel back together? I like the guy, but that's aggravating. I'm, like, aggravated. If I'm the owner, I'm aggravated this morning. I'm aggravated because I need a goalie, and I cannot figure out why my $9 million player isn't playing on the first line where he should be, or at least once in a while.
Because well,
they're just on the edge of going somewhere. Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're on the edge of going somewhere. But I do, Tony, I do agree with you that in this. You know, if you were to try and break down all the things that the Sabres do well and don't do well, last night might not be the best example of this. But, you know, we've talked about it before. They are pretty good at limiting scoring chances. They're one of the better teams in the league at limiting scoring chances against.
Yeah.
But they give up goals because their goalies are bad. I found what I was looking for. Goals saved above average. So the goals this goalie prevents, given his save percentage and shots faced versus the league average on the same number of shots.
Okay. So the Sabres are...
Carter Hutton is 59th.
Yeah, that's not good.
59th. You want to know who's worse?
Where's Ullmark?
Linus Ullmark he's actually okay. He is 22nd.
Okay.
So Ullmark is a bottom-end starter who's young.
Mm-hmm.
Hutton is a bad backup.
I thought Ullmark, Tony, your point about Ullmark, I thought it's a fair point. I'm not telling you that I'm convinced he'll be a number one guy. Maybe it is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who knows. But I liked Ullmark. I thought Ullmark was honestly trending in the right direction when he got hurt. I thought initially when we reached the point earlier in the season when you could see there was no more rotation. Like they started leaning on Ullmark. It was clear. They trusted him more than they trusted Hutton. And Ullmark, I thought, I was worried that maybe he was dealing with the pressure of being the number one guy and handling that kind of workload. And I thought his game suffered a little bit. But I thought he bounced back, and I thought he was playing better. You know, he was making some clutch saves, some key saves. I thought he was playing more consistently, seemed more comfortable in the net at the time when he went down with the injury. So I do feel he was trending in the right direction. I felt better about his play. I can't sit here and tell you he's going to be a great goalie. I don't know that. I also know if I got a better hockey team, I don't necessarily need, you know, Martin Brodeur in his prime. I can win. You know, there are guys who've won cups like, what, Corey Crawford and Jonathan Quick and some of these other guys that have won some of the Stanley Cups are not great goalies. So I don't know that I need to break the bank to find that guy. I would like to have seen Ullmark continue playing because I thought he was playing much better at the time of the injury. I still believe more. I think, honestly, I do. I think less about the goalie and more about finding a second-line center and finding more balance in scoring and guys beyond the first line and a whole bunch of other issues before I think about the goaltender, at least Ullmark. Hutton has had a bad season. There's no question about it. That's me. Hold on. Sorry. Thanks, Tony. Jamie in Springville, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I love your show. I listen every morning on my way to work, which I'm doing right now. Tony kind of stole my thunder. I had pretty much the exact same points as him. Ullmark is like a 9.12 save percentage and like 2.72 goals against. I mean, he's not good. He's never going to be good, in my opinion. I would break the bank on a goalie. I think that's exactly what this team needs. And in Buffalo's history, that's when this team's ever been good, it's because we've had a good to great goaltender. And it's breaking tradition. That's just the way it is here, in my opinion. The other thing, too, I was just going to talk about Skinner. And I mean, last year, if you would have told me that they were going to break up Skinner and Eichel, or let's say I would have told you that, you would have thought I was crazy. And the fact that they're not playing together makes no sense at all. I mean, Krueger says that they need balanced scoring, and I think that's laughable of a comment because why don't we just get scoring first? And yeah, they put up like four last night, but that's not the norm. So, so those are my points too. I think I would break the bank on a big goaltender. Get somebody in here who's going to shut people down. That's how we've always won in Buffalo. Again, great show. Thanks for having me on. Have a good morning.
Thanks, Jamie. The guy that they're waiting for is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, right, Brayton?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as goalie prospects go, how high of a prospect should he be? I guess the reason I'm asking this, or the context, is when Ryan Miller was coming up, we knew this is their next goalie. This mm-hmm. is their goalie of the future. It's supposed to be Ryan Miller. You know, Marty and Mika and Miller were the three, but there are plenty of people that said it's probably Miller's job. Is Luukkonen anywhere in that stratosphere? I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to pan out like Miller did, but, you know, we could see Miller coming. So is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, in your eyes, the unquestioned future for this franchise?
I mean, I think he's close to it. I think it's as close as you could get to that Ryan Miller feel. Obviously, he's not ready to take that next step yet to the AHL just because, you know, he's still a rookie in the professional ranks in North America. So I would expect him to be the full-time starter next year in Rochester with the chance to get called up here and there next year. And then hopefully by the time that Carter Hutton's contract is expired after next year and Linus Ullmark could still be here, then that would allow Luukkonen to kind of come up and kind of split time with Ullmark until eventually it gets to the point where Luukkonen would probably then start to take over as the full-time starter.
Did he just win? What did he just win? An award at the World Juniors with Finland? Was he named like to the first team or something like that?
That was in 2019.
2019, yeah. Okay. 2019.
He was named the best goalie of the tournament, I think.
Okay.
Here's my other question about goalie. The whole break the bank. Who are you getting?
Well,
where are you going? I mean, you're going to trade for, are you? I assume we're not drafting. This is not drafting a goalie. Then you'd have to get an established goalie. I'll look and see who is a free agent. I mean, where are you getting the great goalie in the NHL right now? You're not trading for Carey Price and picking up a $10 million contract. So what are you doing? How are you getting that guy? And who are the great goalies?
How are you getting that guy? You could try to sign him, but what Bottrell's probably trying to do, and this is what he was trying to do with Hutton, and I. In terms of all of his plans, I think this is an okay plan, but again, it's not worked this year. Sign Hutton short term. Hutton's going to get you to Ullmark. Ullmark and Luukkonen are your two guys that eventually are going to be it. Ullmark's hurt. Like right now, from a goalie standpoint, I mean, I don't know how much better Ullmark is going to get, but he's been okay. If he's not hurt, maybe they win last night. If he's not hurt, you know, Hutton had just won four starts in a row, so, you know, give Hutton credit for that, but you know, you're as a general manager, you're juggling a lot of different balls and different positions. You know, should you bail on the Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen train and go out and sign the biggest free agent goalie? You know, that can bite you too. You know, Bobrovsky's had a terrible year.
He's been bad this year in Florida.
Terrible year, and he's got a huge contract that's, well, just looks flat out awful.
You want some names? Here's a list of UFA goalies.
Okay.
I think the biggest name on the list is Braden Holtby.
He's terrible.
But he's having
this year.
A bad season. Terrible. He's got an .897 save percentage, and they're not going to. They might not re-sign him.
His goals saved above average is below Hutton.
Holtby, Corey Crawford, Jimmy Howard.
Horrible.
Some guy named Robin Leonard.
Okay.
He's having a good year.
He is. Another one.
Craig Anderson, Jacob Markstrom. That would be a good. That's a good name on the list, actually.
Yep.
Markstrom. That's about it. Cam Talbot, Yaroslav Halak. Now you're getting down a little bit lower on the list.
Markstrom and Halak are both reasonable options. Halak's 34. Markstrom's 30. Sure, they're options.
Yeah, and Markstrom's about a 2.7 goals against, .918 save percentage, which is better than what the Sabres are doing.
Right, and how many of those guys are going to want a 1 to 2 year window?
Yeah,
I mean,
so
they want
the
money,
other, right.
And how much are you going to commit to that? I think it's definitely something for Bottrell to address this offseason.
Unless he looks at this and says, okay, you know what, Markstrom's our guy, we're giving him the long-term contract, and then he's trading either Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen or Linus Ullmark.
But then they protected Ullmark in the expansion draft.
There's another expansion draft coming up, too. That's right.
Who do they protect this time?
Yeah.
Probably Ullmark.
Then one of those two guys would be an asset to trade
They get at least one, I would hope, new goalie next year. I don't know if you should just be counting on Carter Hutton to bounce back.
803-0550 to join us, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Always second guess should you have done something. There was a TV timeout coming on the way, but it was just too fast, too quick, and very, very disappointing. We just lost everything that we had built over the first 15 minutes. You know, we broke down in the D zone like we haven't been lately. We stood and watched a team that went hungry on their toes and felt the opportunity, and they used it. So good for them, bad for us. But I thought we fought our way back into the game. We gave ourselves a chance to turn the score like we do. We don't give up. We fight our way back in too little, too late.
Ralph Kruger, some of his comments last night after the loss in Ottawa. What did you think the penalty that should have been a penalty shot, right? Johansson should have been a penalty shot, don't you think? When he was hooked from behind going in the net, and they end up giving the shorthanded goal up on that power play. I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know how he was clearly behind him and going to the net, and I'm waiting for the guy to point to center ice, and he didn't. And then they give up the shorthanded goal. And the other, there were a couple bad calls last night. The McCabe hook was not a hook. It was anything. It was a mini cross check, but it was not a hook. And they missed that call, too. And they ended up giving up a power play on that penalty. So a couple bad calls, and the Sabres got beat both times to those bad calls. On a rough night in Ottawa last night, 7-4 the final as they lose to the Senators. Not only the loss, but also the fact that Toronto lost last night to Pittsburgh would have been 6 points out of the Leafs if you beat Ottawa last night, but instead they're not.
This is a year where the Atlantic. That's the division the Sabres are in, right?
Yes.
In the
Atlantic. Yes.
Sorry.
It takes a second. I mean, Atlantic, Metropolitan, Atlantic, right.
Yes. Yeah, the 2-3 matchup in the Atlantic is a little bit, well, it's kind of a cushy spot to get if you're the 2 seed,
mm-hmm.
right? You'd rather be the 2 in the Atlantic than the 1 because what I'm trying to say is Toronto
because you're going to cross
worse.
Over Metropolitan.
Yeah.
Is going to be, the lower seed in the Metropolitan will be better than the third place team in the Atlantic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you almost would rather finish second in the Atlantic.
Because they're probably, the other division's probably getting both wild card spots.
It looks like it right now, yeah.
And Tampa seemingly is just pulling away. So it would be, you're looking at a potentially Boston-Toronto matchup again, which would be fun. Unless Florida catches them.
If you're Boston right now, you get Carolina. It would appear. Yeah, you get Carolina.
Okay.
And if you're Tampa, you get Toronto. And I'd rather play Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so. Who's the other wild card? Is it Philly or who is?
Right now, it's the Islanders.
Okay. I know the Blue Jackets.
The Blue Jackets.
They're plummeting now.
They're tied with the other two wild cards, but back on wins.
They've lost 6 straight games now. So the Blue Jackets have hit their worst skid of the season, and they're falling apart. But I think I would assume that both wild card spots will come from the Metro. It seems like a deeper division than the Atlantic this year. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Sabres losing in Ottawa last night. We've been discussing that. And you know what? When we get back, I'll get your thoughts on the TSN story yesterday about the Pegulas having no plans to bring in a president of hockey operations. We'll get to that in a moment. You can always grab a line and join us on our discussion about the Sabres, about hockey, or if there's something else you want to get to, NFL draft, free agency, Bills stuff. We'll cover the Greg Olsen story in a little bit, too. It's all coming up on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.